summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, come on and dance all night.
Anyone who has ever listened to this show has heard me rant about how the rules are stacked against cities. That's especially the case here in Pennsylvania, where most cities are either officially in distress status or are in denial. Folks, this is not the city's fault. It's the result of bad state policies related to land use planning, how we pay for services, and decades of transportation infrastructure development that either destroy cities or just pass them by. It's also the result of many years of disinvestment of old industrial companies that either went down, moved out, or headed abroad. There has been no acknowledgement of this desperate situation by our governor, despite the fact that our own state capital is bankrupt. I'm Alan Jennings. I'm your host. This is WDIY, listener-supported community public radio, Lehigh Valley Discourse, and my guest tonight is the mayor of Allentown. Allentown is the third largest city in the Commonwealth, and its mayor has been swimming upstream, trying to fight the mighty current. Mayor Ed Pulaski, how's the upstream swimming going these days?
It's been difficult. The current's getting stronger, let me tell you.
It seems, that you take on one challenge and some new thing keeps popping up. It's like that whack-a-mole thing, you know?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. What is that Greek god who kept pushing the boulder up?
Sisyphus.
Sisyphus.
Yeah, you and I both.
Yeah, he kept pushing the boulder up the hill, and every time he got to the top, it keeps rolling. You know, I keep telling folks it's like a boat that we keep bailing out, and every time we bail out the boat, we have these issues with pension funds, you tack the recession on top of that, and the boat just keeps sinking. No matter what we do to bail it out, it keeps taking on water.
I try in these shows to not beat up anybody, and I try not to be like too much of a fan. But I'm a resident of the city of Allentown. I think, in the interest of disclosure, I think my listeners should know that I'm a fan and supporter of yours, Ed, and we're friends. So I just want to make that clear right up front. Maybe that'll make it easier for me to like pick on you or something in the course of this conversation. But
when did they ever stop you?
you recently offered what is a pretty bold, but others might say unworkable proposal to address the city's pension obligation, which is an unarguably a crisis. Let's start by making sure our listeners understand how bad the situation is. In Allentown, for example, where you're most knowledgeable, how bad is the
pension? Well, it's a bad situation. Let me start from the beginning. You know, what we've been trying to deal with over the last couple of years is really addressing some long-term legacy costs, which I call them, which are, you know, we had long-term labor contracts when I came in. I had 7-year contracts. In fact, this is the first year after 7 years in office that I've had the ability to address the fire contract. We have crippling pensions, mostly due to an early retirement of fire and police. When I walked in the door, a third of the entire police department left and retired early. And these guys retired sometimes with 37, 38 years of age.
$90,000,
the ability to pass it on to their surviving spouse. You can only imagine what the actuarial tables look like for that. And full health care benefits for the rest of their lives. We had almost half the fire department retire last year. So we've had some really crippling costs. Combine that with the rise in healthcare costs, the fact that we've had a decrease in revenue due to the recession, the fact that the stock market has tanked over the course of the last couple of years, which has further sort of exacerbated the pension problem. And you have some pretty dire circumstances. Right now, our pension fund has a $130 million deficit, unfunded pension liability. We're at 51.5%. Unlike, let's say the school district obviously has a problem with their pension fund, the teachers do, which isn't really their fault because it's a statewide plan, okay? And the state has been taking money out of that plan year after year, and that's why they have the problem. But if the school district decides not to pay their minimum, payment for their pensions, basically the state could whack them and say, we're not going to give you as much state money, but they're not fiduciarily responsible for those plans. In Pennsylvania, cities are directly fiduciarily responsible for fire and police pension plans, which means they are on our books. They're read on our books. It is a negative balance. It is a real balance. It's an actual contractual debt that we owe. And so it is a real issue for a lot of cities across the Commonwealth, and it's having negative impacts. I mean, we're not the only one that has a pension problem. Ours has just been exacerbated by these early retirements.
But it was also exacerbated because several years ago, when the state legislature gave itself a raise and a pension increase, it pretty much was forced to extend that same increase to other public sector employees, right?
I mean, not necessarily. No, not in our case. Not in the case of police and pension. Police and fire. In those cases, well, let me just put it in perspective. There are 6,700 pension plans in the continental United States. 2,500 of them are in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Okay, so
amazing.
Every little municipality and borough and township,
all separate pension plans,
and every time
California
every time we try to reform that, okay, and get some synergy by pooling the funds together, we get opposed. I mean, every FA accountant, attorney for all these little plans come out, and of course the fire and police don't want it either, because that would mean uniform benefits across the board. And everybody, what happens is when you get into arbitration, which is binding here in Pennsylvania for fire and police, it makes it very difficult for us as a municipality to say, the other side will come in and say, well, X borough or X township just gave us this much benefit, so they set the precedent, so you should give us this much benefit. And so it's this game that continuously is played. But what's happened is the game has tipped the scales so dramatically that it's almost to the point where it's going to be bankrupting every city. And next year, the GFOA, and this is not honestly just a Pennsylvania problem, it's a problem across the United States, but the Government Accounting Service Board is actually going to require municipalities to start showing this as a real, all their unfunded liabilities, a real negative on their books. So every city is going to be bleeding red come next year. But ours is...
Which will affect borrowing,
which is a real debt. And quite honestly, for us, the real number comes out in our MMO. Now, our MMO, for listeners who are out there, that stands for minimal municipal obligation. That is the minimum payment that we have to pay towards our pension funds.
That's what you characterized this morning in your article
as the minimum payment on a credit card. Okay, that doesn't pay that $130 million debt. Okay, that doesn't pay for any other cost in City Hall. That doesn't pay for increases in labor cost or gasoline or health care or anything else. That is just the minimum payment to pay the minimum balance for the pensions that the state requires after an actuarial evaluation. In 2005, when I came in, that minimum payment was $6.5 million. This year, it's $15.5
million. Wow.
Next year, it's going to be $18 million. The year after that, it's going to be $21 million. The year after that, it's going to be $25 million. Now, $18 million next year, just put that in perspective, okay? My whole fire department only cost me $17 million.
Mm.
Okay? So I'm paying my pension cost, my minimum payment, by the way. Okay? That doesn't get at that $130 million debt. The minimum payment is going to cost me more than my whole fire department. By 2015, when I get up to $23 million, that's going to cost me more than my entire police department. And so it is an unsustainable trajectory when you look at it as far as municipality. We're going to be paying over 28% of our entire general fund going just to pay the minimum payment on the pension. That's before we do any capital improvements or fix any roads or cover any other costs or even get at that $130 million unfunded liability, which is causing these costs to inflate. Now, if you just look at it, Alan, over the course of the last 7 years, when you look at it, when it went from 6.5 to 15.5, okay? And at 15.5, by the way, that's only at paying 75% of that minimum payment, because back in 2009, when the recession started to hit, the state legislature enacted a bill called Act 44, which was supposed to unify benefits across the state. It actually made them worse. Okay, by the time it got through the House, it actually made it worse. But what they did do was allow municipalities to only pay 75% of that MMO. The theory was let the stock market rebound and actually recapture some of your costs, okay? Because if you think about it, your pension fund, you're investing, in the market and hopefully getting a return, just like any other pension fund. Now, all that does is push the can down, you're kicking the can down the road. It doesn't really solve the problem. But that 15.5 is still, we're only paying 75%. If we were to pay the full cost, that would be another 25% on top of that. The cumulative number in the last 6 years is $35.4 million. So not only have we balanced budgets, not only have we cut costs, not only have we raised revenue, we implemented an EMST tax, we implemented EIT, you know, the big controversy about what Easton did. We did that first, obviously, about a year ago. We did a revenue sharing agreement with Bethlehem. We have all this new revenue coming in. All it's doing is filling that hole and paying for that 35.4. Think about what we could have done with $35.4 million. Could have paved every road, you know, in the city of Allentown. We could have helped, you know, redevelop whole neighborhoods with $35.4 million. And so it is a crippling cost that is weighing down the ship, and which is the analogy that we use when we first started this conversation. No matter how much we bail out, and we've cut everything. I mean, we've beat our budgets every year. We've cut costs. Every single year we've come in millions of dollars on their budget. We have not only, you know, we have the lowest staff level that we've had in almost 30 years. We've basically, through attrition, have eliminated over 100 staff positions in City Hall. So our population has increased, as you know. But our staff has gone down. So we're doing a lot more with a lot less. We've not only cut to the bone, we've cut through the bone. There's nothing left to cut. But all that is compounded with the fact that you know, this pension cost just keeps weighing us down. So no matter how much we cut, no matter how much new revenue we bring in, continues to just flood the ship. And it's about at the point where it's going to sink.
You're listening to Mayor Ed Pawlowski on Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. I'm your host, Alan Jennings, and Ed doesn't need a host tonight. before we go to this pretty radical proposal of yours, let's just make sure that we're clear. There is no legal ability to back off on those pensions.
No.
You cannot withdraw a commitment that was made to those employees.
You can't. And I mean, they're legally bound by state law and federal law. And you know, it's interesting. People have said, well, why don't you just go bankrupt? Well, okay. Well, first off, I don't think people realize in the state of Pennsylvania, they actually passed a law where municipalities can't go bankrupt. I don't know what happens when you run out of money, but you can't
go
bankrupt.
Good question.
But if you look at the cities we have, let's look at Stockton, California. It has been devastating for them. Absolutely. I mean, there was an article in the New York Times about a week and a half ago, and people can go in their New York Times archives and just pull it up. Just type in Stockton, California. It was devastating. I mean, they didn't solve their pension problem by going bankrupt, okay? But the courts did cut their police department by 50%, their fire department by 75%. Crime has gone up 51%. No one can sell a home, and no one wants to work for the city of Stockton. You know, so I mean, it's been a devastating negative impact. But even if we could go bankrupt, what would happen? Well, in a typical bankruptcy, you get a trustee. Okay, that trustee is going to probably propose the same thing that I'm proposing here. And we'll talk about in a second. We just won't have any input or any control into that process. But I mean, it's all hypothetical because we can't do it in the state of Pennsylvania.
So the talk in the legislature about reform then can only go forward. So for example, they're talking about switching from the old pension defined benefit to defined contribution of 401k.
Yeah, it doesn't affect anybody in the past.
Right. So all of the problems that you've got now can't be corrected by those reform efforts.
Right. I mean, let's take police, okay? I got 580 people that have retired and only 209 paying in. All right? So, I mean, you don't have to be, you know, a super mathematician to figure out that doesn't work. The math just doesn't work. And so, you know, it's become a problem now where we have, you know, this rising cost that we have to address, if I haven't totally depressed everybody at this particular point in time. The recession has eaten into our revenues dramatically. We've seen shortfalls in revenues the last couple of years. Our savings account, our unrestricted cash, is down now to about $1.9 million. So, you know, we haven't been running red. You know, the paper keeps saying, oh, the city's right. We've never run a deficit, okay? We will after we run out of money. After we eat in that $1.9 million, then we will be running red.
You
and we're
going to
be in the same position
press
of Scranton, where we don't have any money to pay staff.
Yeah.
So we're trying to address this before it becomes an issue.
Yeah.
And we think we have a way to do that by monetizing some of our assets, and I guess we're going to go to break, and we'll talk about it after.
Yeah, we got to go to break. You're listening to WDIY, listener-supported public radio. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm Alan Jennings. My guest tonight, my only guest tonight, is Mayor Ed Pulaski, who has his hands full. Stay with us.
His father works some days for 14 hours, and you can bet he barely makes a dollar. His mother goes scrub the floors for me.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture, from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio.
For program support on WDIY, we thank American Gold, Silver, and Coin, holding a buying event for gold, silver, vintage antiques, collectibles, musical instruments, and an emphasis on coins. Thursday and Friday, 9 to 7, and Saturday, 9 to 4, at the Comfort Inn, Routes 191 and 22 in Bethlehem.
That's Ray Schwab over there working that machinery, and I'm grateful to him. He's a volunteer, and he comes in, he gets it right every time. Ray, thanks for your help tonight. Okay, we're here with Ed Pulaski, who is the probably the biggest bummer I know, but a friend. And I'm Alan Jennings. I'm the host of Lehigh Valley Discourse. Mayor Ed Pulaski, we are talking about dark.
As a resident of Allentown, have I made you depressed yet? Don't worry, I have a solution. So we'll talk
I know
about
you
that
do. I know you do. And let's talk about that. So,
well, but let me just back up. If we were to actually have to fill this gap, okay, in the pension fund, to pay for that, just a minimal payment, we'd have to raise taxes almost 6.5 mils. Now, we are at the highest tax rate now in the whole Lehigh Valley. We're at a major competitive disadvantage. We're paying 17 point, I'm just talking about city tax, I'm not even talking about school taxes.
Right.
17.5 mils, okay, compared to Lower McCungee, which is right next to us, which is paying zero,
right,
okay?
Nothing.
Salisbury, which is paying like three, and, you know, South Whitehall, which is paying four, okay? So we're at a major competitive disadvantage, which is why we have kept taxes flat for the last 7 years, because we're trying to get the surrounding communities to
catch up. Come on, raise your taxes out there.
Well, they're going to have to at some point in time, but, you know, but we can't do that. I mean, that would be almost a 40% tax increase just to pay the minimum payment. Now, if you were actually going after the $130 million, all right, and if you were actually paying for costs, we were looking at a tax increase by 2015 of 100%. Huh. 100%. You would double your tax. Now, to do that would drive every middle-class homeowner and business out of the city.
Anybody who could afford to get out.
Anybody who could afford to get out is going to get out, okay,
right,
and have a devastating downward spiral. So, you know, you've had, you know, negative effects of the recession. We've cut costs. We've, you know, we've raised revenue. We've seen the economy starting to rebound over the course of the last couple years. But because of all these factors combining is sort of eaten away at all our cumulative savings, and combine that with this pension liability the fact that you can't continue to just keep putting, you know, the burden by raising taxes, you have a really significant problem. So how do we close the gap? Okay, so it's a two-step process. The first one is we got to stop the hemorrhaging. And so we've done that. We actually renegotiated the pension benefits in both the fire and police contract. All these benefits that led to early retirements and and that led to these exorbitant pensions are gone. They're all back to what's called third class city code. So there's still defined benefits, but they're you know, you have to be 20 years, you know, employed with the city, you have to be 55 or older. You can't use your overtime to calculate your pension. It's an average of 3 years. Just a basic, you know, it's 55% of your base pay, not 130%. It's basic pensions, okay? Which I'm all for. I'm all for giving people good pensions.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some of it is just out of, it's skewed the other way, out of control. So basic pension. So we've corrected the problem going forward for all the current and future firemen and police. Now what we have to do, to continue that medical terminology, is go after the tumor, which is that $130 million unfunded liability, which is causing this MMO to skyrocket so rapidly. And so we looked at a bunch of different scenarios. Well, we could raise property taxes, which we already talked about, which is unsustainable. We could do what they did back, to add insult to injury to all this, back in the 90s, they took out pension bonds, okay, which the concept was, and remember, pension bonds are taxable bonds, okay, they're not tax-exempt bonds. So they took out pension bonds with the concept of, we're going to borrow money at 6% and hopefully get continuous 8% returns that will pay for the debt service on these bonds. We're going to put all that money into the pension fund and hopefully shore up and reduce the unfunded liability. They took out $40 million worth of pension bonds. Well, as we all know, the market has not performed at 8% return, okay? So not only did it not perform at 8% return and we didn't get the investment to pay for those bonds, on top of our MMO, now we're paying for an additional $36.9 million of pension bonds, which is another $2.4 million a year, all right?
That doesn't, I'm jumping.
So we looked at, well, what if we took out more pension bonds, okay? I mean, that was another option. What if we leased the golf course? What if we leased the parking? What
Who's we?
The city.
Yeah, but when you, I mean, who figures this stuff out? First of all, you know, you don't have an MBA.
We bring in the best consultants in the business. We have PFM, which is Public Financial Management out of Philadelphia. They're one of the best municipal financial groups in the country. We brought in Paxton Dilworth, which is the largest, most experienced contractual legal firm in Philadelphia. We've hired Ketch and Muchin out of Chicago, which is a law firm that specializes in concession lease arrangements. We also brought in AUS, which is a national engineering firm, to actually do valuations.
You didn't bring in Dewey Cheatham and Howe?
I didn't bring in Dewey Cheatham and Howe, no. But anyway, so we looked at pension bonds, and we said, okay, what if we borrowed, since the interest rate is low now, right, a lot lower than it was in the 90s, borrow $100 million to put into the pension fund. We did that, and your viewers can't see it, but maybe you can see it. You know, it lowers the MMO rate and stabilizes it, but by the time you figure in principal and interest, it basically rises to the same level. You would still need 40, 50, 60, 70% increase in real estate tax to pay for that. And all you're doing is exchanging one debt for another. It really doesn't solve the problem.
What our listeners don't have the benefit of is another one of PowerPoint Pawlowski's slides.
We also looked at the golf course. I mean, what if we were able to lease the golf course? Well, it doesn't generate enough revenue. It would only give us maybe $5, $10 million.
What if we sold it for development?
We did. We looked at that, too. There's deed restrictions dating back 150 years, and pretty much every lawyer in the valley, big lawyer, lives around the golf course. So provided that we got past all the multiple lawsuits that we would get, if we sold it, we valued the land, and it only came out about $30 million. It doesn't give us enough to really solve the problem. We looked at the parking authority. What if we were able to lease the parking authority? Well, maybe somewhere down the road as the arena starts coming in and we're getting more revenue. But right now, those decks, and one of the reasons we picked the spot for the arena, all those decks that are down there, between after 5 o'clock on weekdays are only utilized 2% of the time. And any day during the weekend are only utilized 3% of the time. So they just don't generate enough revenue. The assessment came back at about $20 million. So even if you could bind the two, you still wouldn't get enough net revenue to impact that MMO. And then we looked at the water and sewer utilities. Now, we're unique. We've never put our utilities into an authority. We kept them in-house in the city. They're unregulated. We also continued to put dollars into those utilities over the course of the last several years, or several decades. So our system isn't broken like it is in Philadelphia or Atlanta or, you know, or Baltimore. It's not like we have major, major capital investment that has to be put in. And we never sold off our system. And so we have this great asset, and we said, could we monetize the asset? Could we monetize the asset and pull out an upfront lease payment instead of them paying over, you know, over the course of time on a yearly basis? You know, could we pay an upfront amount? Which is pretty typical now across the country. They're doing this for all kinds of things. I'll give you an example. Ohio State just monetized their parking assets. And it appraised for $220 million. They got a lease payment, upfront lease payment of $460 million for a long-term lease monetization of their parking. So it's very typical, very common. We hired this AUS group, this consulting group. They came in, they looked at our system. They said, you got a great system. You got a large catchment area. It doesn't need a lot of capital investment or infrastructure. You got a growing population here, a lot of upside. Your system is worth about $130 to $160 million. I said, that comes in right around where we need it.
You got puffed up.
So we said, well, what would that look like? You know, could we do a lease concession? And are they doing this across the country where we would, you know, secure, you know, a proven, experienced utility provider through a very competitive process? They would be responsible then for all the operating and maintenance costs going forward. They would be also responsible for capital costs. And then at the end of the lease, the city, one of the former mayors did counterpoint piece day.
Right.
Said a lease buyback. We're not buying back anything. We're just doing a lease, and at the end of the lease, we get it back. Okay, we get it back in a state of good repair and in good condition to the benefit of the city. Now we're looking at a very long term lease, and we will probably be dead by the end of it. But you know, at some point, they'll all get it back, and they can do the whole thing all over again if they want to. And we looked at that, and we said if we were able to get enough $130 million to put into the pension fund, we would lower our MMO, let's take this year for the base year, from 15.5 to basically 3.5 million. All right. And that would stabilize our finances for the next 20 years. Now, even if we were to only get 80%, enough to put 80% into the pension fund and take out 80% of that debt, it would still lower it to about $8 million from 15. And that's substantial. If not, we're looking at massive tax increases. And if we do it, we probably won't have to raise property taxes for another 5 to 7 years.
Well, okay. So let's talk about this for a minute. As you know, I'm active in a group called Renew Lehigh Valley, and you know, it's sort of weird that we have 41 water and wastewater systems in the Lehigh Valley, and we talked about you know, trying to get some kind of a consolidation of systems and everything. And you guys are in Allentown are in a pretty good spot. There was a lot of discussion with the Lehigh County Housing, with the Lehigh County Authority, and
they may be one of the ones who'd want to lease this out. They've been at every meeting so far.
So,
basically, what we're trying to do, Ellen, we're trying to monetize the assets. So, our pipes, our treatment plant, our infrastructure, we're monetizing the assets. We're keeping the ownership interest, so we're never selling it. Okay.
But does that mean that they'll run the system more efficiently? I mean, are we that bad at government, and they're that good?
No, I think our system is run okay. Okay. The problem is that we can't use the proceeds of that to basically offset our general fund. But if we monetize it, if we take the asset that we have and monetize the asset, we can use that money to help affect our general fund. That's the difference.
Well,
so I can't just, let's say, you know, somebody said, well, why don't you just raise water rates, you know, 500% and keep the system? I can't do that. Okay. I can't do that by state law. And I can't use that money to then pay for general fund costs.
When Lehigh County Authority offered to buy your system outright.
Yeah.
They offered something like $15 million or something like that.
It was pretty pathetic. It was a slap in the face.
Okay, so that was just a real low ball offer. That was
obviously thinking we're some country bumpkins. You know, I mean, I'm Polish, but I'm not an idiot. Okay, you know, I mean, I got a bridge too. You know, and I could sell them too if they want.
But you're talking about the difference between 15 and 130 million is like a factor of 8.
Yeah. which shows how ridiculous that number was. Okay.
So where did you get the $130 million figure?
We got it from a national engineering
firm. Okay, so this isn't something.
No, it's not some number we pulled out of the top of my head. Okay.
Right.
We have gotten the best consultants in the country to look at this that have valued plants all over the country, and they said this asset is worth about $130 to $160 million. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We've had a two-step process here. Okay, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. We've had a two-step. Well, let me just talk to you about the lease, and then we can talk to you about the process. Okay, the lease would be monetizing it, and so what we're looking at as part of this lease is really a couple things. One, we would never transfer deed or title. Two, we would never lose control of our water sources. We would always control our water sources.
Who raises rates?
They would raise the rates, but we would control the flow. So we would have some control over that. Plus, a new entity would be under the PUC. So anytime that they have to raise rates, they have to have public hearings, and they'd have to show that they're raising rates because they're improving the system or the delivery of the product.
And you don't have to go to the PUC.
Right now, we can raise rates willy-nilly.
So you can raise rates.
Let me ask you a question. You've lived in Allentown over 20 years, right?
26, 27 years.
Okay, how long do you how much do you think your water and sewer rates have raised in those 20 years?
Hell, I don't know. I don't pay the bills, and I don't care about paying my... I don't know, 25%?
Would it shock you to know it went up 196% in the last 20 years?
Huh.
In the last 10 years, it's gone up 60%. Now, some years it goes up 2, some years it goes up 5, some years it goes up 40, some years it goes up 20, some years it goes up 0. If you average it out, it's about a 5% increase a year for the last 20 years. So your water and sewer rates are going up. And what I tell folks is that, yeah, will your water and sewer rates go up over the next 40 years of this lease? Absolutely. Okay? The difference is, your taxes are going to go up dramatically, and your water and sewer rates are going to go up. Okay, so what we're trying to do is solve the problem and stabilize the city's finances for decades to come so that we're on a positive fiscal trajectory instead of a negative fiscal trajectory. And we have an asset that other cities don't have that we can monetize. Now, we would control the water sources. The lease would be somewhere between 40 and 50 years, and people say, well, why that long? Well, it's that long because doing this lease and monetizing it, giving it to us for a payment, needs time to defease those costs as well as depreciate the asset. If they're a for-profit company, they would depreciate the asset and obviously take a tax write-off. Also, any new improvements that the EPA or DEP would require, they would need time to obviously amortize those costs out. We would not have a single person lose their job. Most of these transactions, they just assume the current workforce and the current collective bargaining agreement. $30 million of water and sewer debt would be eliminated under this scenario. And the leasee, one of the reasons we're keeping the water sources is that let's say it's a private company, let's say it's Aqua America or American Water or something, okay? They're going to obviously want to expand their territory and their market base. As they expand their territory and their market base, I want to share in some of that profit for the citizens of Allentown. So,
but that's one of the things that
the goal here
people.
Then is to take that amount, okay? And then use it to write down or eliminate that unfunded pension liability, which would then lower the MMO. And by the way, that 0.35 EIT would be eliminated as well, because now the pension fund isn't distressed anymore.
I didn't want to spend as much time on this, but I understand that it's almost literally about the life and death of our city. I don't want to dismiss people's opposition and people's argument again. So let me just. There is a group called Food and Water Watch.
Yeah.
It's an organizing group. They've come into Allentown because I think they see this as a pretty serious threat.
They're against every privatization of water and sewer in the country.
But there's a lot of resistance to the private and water and sewer.
I don't understand why. Because if you look at the history of it, okay, right now in Pennsylvania, there's 9 million. Users, okay? 3.6 of them are under private companies, and they probably don't even know it. And they consistently win water quality and standard awards across the board. Okay, so it all depends on how you construct the lease agreement and you construct their performance measures. One of the things that we're looking at is we would have a performance, an operation standards manual, okay? It would be a huge manual that would go through every aspect of the operations, and they would either have to meet or exceed the current standards that we have, okay? We would also have very specific performance metrics in the lease itself, that if they don't meet those performance metrics, they would be fined or they could be removed as the provider. We'd also have an Office of Consumer Ombudsman that we would set up. And the whole job of these staff in City Hall would be to monitor that the performance under the operations manual, as well as make sure that they're complying with the terms of the lease.
And that would be part of their expense. They would.
Yeah, they would have. We're only talking a few staff. Okay, mm-hmm. We would pay for that.
Okay.
But you know, they're giving us an upfront payment of could be anywhere from $130 to $200 million. Which would not, if it's in the $200 million range, let's say it comes in higher like it did in Ohio State, we'd actually be able to pay off all our debt. We'd be a debt-free city.
Hmm. Pretty amazing stuff, Ed. And as I said in opening the show, I'm a fan. There's a lot involved in this. I know you're going to have a lot of pushback, so I wish you well. We're going to have to take a break. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. You're listening to Ed Pawlowski, the mayor of Allentown. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. Stick around. We've got plenty of more to talk about in the Queen City.
Now the sweet bells of mercy drift through the evening trees. Young men on the corner scattered leaves. The boarded up windows, the empty streets. All my brothers down.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Easton Main Street Initiative, offering free concert series this year. Live in the Square will run on the last Friday of every month through September in Easton Center Square. Friday, August 31st, The Billies, Low Country Groove from Lancaster. For weather cancellations, EastonMainStreet.org or on Facebook.
I'm a city guy. I believe in cities, and I also like the Talking Heads. There's so much more to talk about. When we first started, I was a little worried that we'd run out of stuff, but that's not
I told
happen.
You. I told it's you I could talk happen. About this for a long time.
Let's just talk for one quick minute. There was a show here on WDIY in which your waste to energy plant proposal was dissed for environmental reasons.
I don't understand that either, because we had some of the best environmentalists. In fact, we had John Sale, who's a leading engineering professor here at Lehigh. We basically, what this is taking, instead of putting garbage into a landfill, okay, you're taking it, you're processing it, and the sludge that's coming out of our sewage treatment plant, processing it in what's like a big pressure cooker. It breaks it down to a molecular level to a powder that can then be used for fuel that's burned in a generator and then produces energy. So it's a waste to energy proposal. Now, you know, we had numerous experts and we had numerous people both locally and nationally working with us on this process, looking at it. We went to Germany. We looked at this is all. Let me back up. This is all technology that is being used in various countries in different forms. Okay. The uniqueness about this proposal is that that we're combining all these technologies together. Okay, so they're all working simultaneously. They're all working independently in different countries. We're taking these different processes, combining them together into one system, and hopefully a system that is small. Because if you notice, there was an article in the paper today about Air Products and how they did this massive system in England, a gasification system, a waste energy system. Most of the waste energy systems are huge, okay? And you don't have smaller communities like Allentown that are able to access that. But you have a real problem on the horizon, okay? If you have all your landfills here, they're being filled up like crazy. I would not think that any environmentalist would think that putting garbage into a landfill is a positive thing to do for the environment, okay?
It's one of those things where, you know, you got environmentalist against environmentalist.
Yeah, and I mean, it that's exactly what it was, you know, and here, you know, my argument is this, you got landfills being filled up here at a rapid rate. There's thousands of trucks coming over the border of New York and New Jersey because New York and New Jersey have shut down their landfills.
Yep, they're full.
Okay? So it's only a matter of time, okay, maybe 5-6 years before our landfills here are filled up, which means we got to truck our garbage farther and farther away. The cost is going to be it's an escalating cost. In fact, now they're planning new landfills in Ohio and in Iowa to basically take Pennsylvania garbage. So over time, over the next 10 years, what we're trying to do is, again, jump ahead of the curve. Maybe that's my problem. We're trying to be progressive here. We're trying to jump ahead of the curve and propose a new technology that would process our waste and turn it into energy, and we wouldn't have to put our garbage into a landfill.
How many jobs?
I don't know why create? This is a bad thing.
Yeah, how many jobs would it create?
It's going to create probably about 50 jobs. It's
and
a
generate
small plant.
Revenue for the city?
And generate revenue for the city and pay for all the electricity for our water and sewer plant.
And you have the infrastructure to move the stuff in and out.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. We're moving it now. I mean, we have a private company here. We have a private company around that's picking up all our garbage, which is waste management.
I think if there is anybody in the Lehigh Valley that took it on upside the head more than you for what was going on with the NIS in our city, it was me. congratulations on it finally moving forward. Where are you with respect to the timing of the building of the arena? Are we going to have a hockey season in 2013, or is that lost?
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell yet. We're still working on it. The financing's coming through. You know, we're putting together the financing. We're hoping to float all our bonds by the end of September. You know that. You're on the NIS board. Once that's done, we can then revise our timetables. I'm assuming there's probably going to be some sort of delay going forward, but we don't know how much yet at this point.
And the next building is actually going to happen before the arena? Is that...
Simultaneously, at least.
The city center, center
simultaneously. I mean, there's a lot of development. We're looking maybe about, if you add it all up, probably about $500 million of development downtown. We got a lot of things happening. You know, I mean, the American Parkway Bridge, they've talked about it since 1950.
Finally.
You know, we the contract's awarded. They're going to break ground in August. That's an $80 million bridge.
Good timing.
So there's a lot of great things that are happening in the city of Allentown.
You know, people hear that I'm going to have you on a show, and I get phone calls. Hey, you got to bug them about this. And one of them is the Keystone Opportunity Zones, something that Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation has typically applied for on behalf of the region. The city of Allentown is going to go it alone as opposed to being part of the Lehigh Valley project. That feels like competition, two communities competing with each other. Is there a reason why?
Really? There's competition with communities? Did we not forget about the whole NIS zone where everybody in the world decided to sue us? So much for regionalization, huh?
Well,
and we're going to get slammed because we're not being regional? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah,
really?
but you know what I'm worried about, Ed,
really?
With all seriousness, because that was my first reaction too, but the reality is that...
Honestly, I don't even know what you're talking about. This is the first time I'm hearing about this. So.
About the KOZ?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
But I do think that at some point...
I'm not opposed to it, okay? But I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, it is something I think...
I just think it's funny, okay,
know,
that other
I know.
Communities who are trying to basically undermine this project, which is going to have a regional... Let me tell you something. Do you know that Allentown generates $1 billion of earned income tax that people earn in the city that live outside the city every year? We are the largest generator of revenue for the entire Lehigh Valley. And, you know, I would love to tell these folks out in the surrounding suburbs what would happen if that $1 billion of earned income went away. Well, you get rid of all the jobs. You know, if you think that Allentown's just, be swallowed up in some big hole, okay, then the Lehigh Valley would be better off. Think about losing that $1 billion of revenue that it generates every year for all the surrounding municipalities.
Yeah,
you don't have a job. You obviously can't pay your taxes in one of these townships, right?
I think you and I would be...
I know that's logical. I'm sorry if we're getting into logic.
Well,
here,
I think you and I would be in a tough competition between who's more Who's more, not vengeful or vindictive, but who carries a grudge more?
It's not a grudge. It's just honesty.
I carry grudges, but I think we have
to move on.
I'm
carrying a grudge. I'm just being honest.
And I think, you know, I think the rest of the communities need to do that. I think the Lehigh Valley is better off when we think and act as a region.
I agree.
I'm not lecturing you. I'm just saying, I think that this is a point that we all need to say, we have been on the forefront of regionalization.
Okay. When we talked about the Regional Health Bureau that they just decided to kill in Lehigh County, we were the first ones in Allentown.
Vicky,
okay.
It was great.
We were pushing this scenario from the very beginning. We're all about regionalization and, you know, quite honestly, that's why and I'm sure it affected you as well. That's why when this whole NIS controversy came about, that's what hurt the most. It's like, you know, Allentown needs to play, and we've played this regional game with everybody, you know, when it benefits everybody else, okay? But as soon as it benefited Allentown, for some reason, you know, it wasn't okay. You know, and there has to be a give and take when you're talking about regionalism. Okay, it can't be a one-sided scenario where it's just take, and it give, and then it's, you know, that's okay. There has to be a give and take on both sides. And Allentown has been giving a lot. Let's take the assessment. The tax, you know, they just did a reassessment in Lehigh County.
My understanding is that our property taxes are going down.
Yes.
Largely.
Yes. 75% of the properties in Allentown are going down. What does that mean? It means for the last 20 years that they haven't done a reassessment, that Allentown has been subsidizing the rest of the Lehigh County by 75%.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that's okay. I'm not suing anybody. I'm not going to saying we should, you know, try to get all that money back. If you total up, by the way, it's about $4 million a year. Mm-hmm. You can multiply that out by 20 and see how much money that costs.
Adds up.
You know, but it's part of living in a region. You know what I mean? It's part of what we are as a region. We have to work together and realize that we all have a symbiotic relationship to one another, and we all, you know, have to support each other's economy, because if we support each other's economy, the overall economy will grow. You guess you got me a soapbox now. I mean,
I was going to say I've got you all charged up. Let's talk about the airport.
I mean, it's interesting when people talk. You know, you hear it. You know, you get these negative perceptions of Allentown, and I'm sorry. You know, the rest of the world doesn't see a Lehigh Valley. Okay, they don't even know what the heck you're talking about. They look on a map and they see Allentown. You know, they refer when national media comes in here, they talk about the Allentown area. So the perception of Allentown is either going to have a positive impact on this region or it's going to have a negative. If we want more young people to stay here, if we want more young people to move here, we have to have a vibrant urban core.
Right.
That's what Allentown is. So we can either have that positive, so that when somebody Googles Allentown, they see a positive, or we can have it negative. I don't see how a negative Allentown will help the rest of the region. You know, really, does Camden help the rest of Camden County? Do you think that is a positive influence on the economy of Camden County or a negative?
Correct.
You know,
Lehigh Valley International Airport.
You were serious about that.
No, I do want to. You know, I've got some good friends that are pilots, and I don't want to cause too much trouble here. But that is the juiciest undeveloped chunk of land in the city of Allentown. But we've lost that fight, though, right? I mean,
I think for now, you know what? I think it's utterly ludicrous what we have. We have an airport that has about 60 to 70 planes that could easily be moved to the main airport, which is LVIA, okay? Which, by the way, over 50% of the planes that are there are small craft, general aviation craft. And as you know, the number of flights have gone down, large commercial flights. That is the most valuable asset that airport has. They also have a $16 million debt that they have to pay because of a failed court case.
Correct.
All right? You know, to develop that asset, I think, if you look at all the other assets they have, all their other land is way far away from the expressway. This is right off I-78. It's surrounded by infrastructure. Talk about the folks that should be, you know, everybody's concerned about gobbling up green space. Here's a parcel in an urban area that could easily be developed, okay, that has macadam on it, that should be developed, that, you know, we're fighting over, that we should be saying, what could we do constructively, be able to move these planes? And we're not talking about moving these pilots like 5 hours away. I mean, it's literally 5 minutes away, okay? By air, it's probably 30 seconds away, okay? And be able to help bring the revenue needed to keep our airport moving forward, as well as help the economy of the city and the entire region. I sometimes feel like I'm just
Let's go on to the next thing.
I'm running after windmills here, you know. But I mean, I don't think that's an illogical position to take.
Yeah. let's talk just. I wanted to go back to the NIS for a minute.
Don Quixote. That's what I was.
Yeah. Well, hey, I've been tilting at windmills for many years. Any time you have excitement surrounding a big urban development project, you have lots of predators that start, you know, kind of looking at your properties near and far. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, they sit on those properties because they're waiting for the best price they can get. And so mm-hmm. what you want in a redevelopment area is for there to be spillover benefits. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, because those predatory investors have very patient capital, they'll let those buildings rot. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about what we do about that as the NIS takes off and we start having development and key properties start getting bought up by, and you know how many properties are already bought by, owned by New York and New Jersey investors in downtown? It's hundreds.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know how we could stop that. I think the way we sort of stem that tide is to try to get more investors to come in, more credible investors. So we've been actively marketing the NIS. We've been trying to pull in as many investors as possible. We had some great local investors like J.B. Riley have already stepped up to the plate,
bought
a number
hero.
Of properties and are really investing and putting a lot of capital, taking a lot of risk in right now in the city of Allentown. And others are willing to step up. So we've been trying to aggressively go after those really credible developers who have the ability and the means to really invest. And, my hope is that over the course of the next several years, those guys will,
guys is a non-gender term.
will invest and buy up some of this property, which they seem to be looking at and doing already. And, you know, we won't have that occur. But that's a tough one, Alan. I agree with you. I don't know how to stop it.
I think what we need to do, and I want to try to find a way to do it either for you or with you or is to have somebody who's watching property transactions, researching who the people are that are buying them, keeping an eye on what's going on, and that kind of bird dogging to
we
to
do
really
have a couple
vigilant.
Staff in City Hall that are doing that.
Yeah.
We probably need to pick up the pace on that, especially on the commercial side. We're mostly looking on the residential side. But you're right. I agree. I agree with you 100%.
We're running out of time. I want to talk about housing for a minute. Ed, I would make the argument that perhaps maybe the biggest problem we have in Lehigh County, not just Allentown, is the quality of Allentown's housing stock. We've got a lot of real problem properties mm-hmm. that attract people who cause problems. Mm-hmm. And, that's not a race issue. That's just an irresponsible behavior issue. Mm-hmm. Home funding has been dramatically cut. CDBG funding has been cut. This mm-hmm. governor is not going to put any money into it. How are we going to get a handle on the housing stock?
Well, I mean, I think we've done it through a couple. We've used the limited funds that we have. We've targeted those funds. We have increased our inspection capabilities. We put in, before we had no barriers to entry, so it was very easy for these absentee property owners to just come in and buy up houses without any repercussions. And so we've made it a little more difficult to enter into the marketplace for those individuals. Things like, we have a pre-sales program that a lot of cities have. We didn't have it. We put one into place, as soon as the property is sold, it has to be brought up to code. We have systematic inspections in some of our neighborhoods. We're trying to, aggressively attack the problem before it spins out of control on the inspection side. We also have changed our zoning ordinances to make it so you can't just chop up properties into multi-family apartments, that you have to keep the context and texture of the neighborhood intact. You're right. We have very limited funds, and so we'll try to target the very limited funds that we have into certain neighborhoods, because we obviously can't do the shotgun approach anymore. We have to be more specific in our targets.
Some would argue that we'd be better served hiring more code enforcement people than police.
We've actually doubled almost our code enforcement staff over the last couple of years.
When you think about it, the police are dealing with the problems that result from it. Do you know what
but
I mean?
You know, there's only so much you could do, too. I mean, I think we have done a lot. I mean, we've done a landlord hall of shame. You know, we've done everything we possibly can. We've changed our codes. We're pretty restrictive in that respect. You know, the problem is that, as you know, William Penn was an avid property rights advocate, and a lot of the laws in Pennsylvania are skewed
really
towards that direction.
Yep.
And so it makes it very difficult, even with, you know, the ordinances and the codes that we put in place and the increased inspectors. You only have limited amount of ability. You got to try to increase investment, which is what we're doing with the NIS. You know, the more investment that comes in, hopefully will have a ripple effect. And, you know, you can have a mixed income neighborhood that has that spillover. Great urban areas have that type of diversity of incomes and cultures, and but you need the economics. Right now, you can't just have low economics. You have to have low economics and people of means to have that economic synergy.
I've always said you can't have a functioning community without a functional marketplace.
Exactly.
And you can't have a functional marketplace that's all poor people.
Exactly, right. Exactly.
So, well, real quickly, we're pretty much out of time. Who's going to win the presidential election?
Barack Obama.
How confident are you in that?
I'm
52-48.
I'm very confident. I'll tell you why. Because, I mean, when you look at this guy, you know, first off, he's got the oratory skills of an OnStar operator. Okay, so I mean, he's not the most passionate guy. But you haven't been able to really get him to really say anything about what he believes in. And I think eventually, as it comes down to the end of this election, people are going to want to say, what do you stand for? When you look at Barack Obama's record, the man has accomplished so much in a short period of time. I think the American people, and if you look at the polls, they seem to be tracking that direction, are going to vote for him. It's going to be close, but he's going to win.
Mayor Ed Pawlowski, thanks. This is WDIY. Thanks for listening.
I'm Main Street, whitewashed windows and vacant store. Seems like there ain't nobody wants to come down here no more. They're closing down the textile mill across the railroad tracks. Foreman says these jobs are going, boys, and they ain't coming back to your hometown.
And you're listening to WDIY 88.1 FM and HD, listener-supported community public radio. That's WDIY at 88.1 FM in Allentown and Bethlehem, and on translators 93.9 in Easton and Phillipsburg, 93.7 in Fogelsville and Trexhertown, and on the World Wide Web at WDIY.org. Stay tuned for Celtic Fair, but first, today's headlines.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. The U.S. gold